Chapter 42. As it stands, what is to be broke will be broke, for I never dropped a thing I my life for one though holding it, else I should never ha kept the crockery all these years as I bought at my own wedding. And Eddie, are you mad? Whatever do you mean, by coming down I that way, and making one think as there's a ghost a walking ith house? A new outbreak of laughter, while Mrs. Poyser was speaking, was caused, less by her sudden conversion to a fatalistic view of jug-breaking than by that strange appearance of Eddie, which had startled her aunt. The little minx had found a black gown of her aunt's, and pinned it close round her neck to look like Dinah's, had made her hair as flat as she could, and had tied on one of Dinah's high-crowned borderless net caps. The thought of Dinah's pale grey face and mild grey eyes, which the sight of the gown and cap brought with it, made it a laughable surprise enough, to see them replaced by Eddie's round rosy cheeks and coquettish dark eyes. The boys got off their chairs and jumped round her, clapping their hands, and even Alick gave a low ventral laugh as he looked up from his beans. Under cover of the noise, Mrs. Poyser went into the back kitchen to send Nancy into the cellar with the great pewter measure, which had some chance of being free from bewitchment. "Why, Eddie, lass, are ye turned Methodist?" said Mr. Poyser, with that comfortable slow enjoyment of a laugh which one only sees in stout people. "Oo must pull your face a deal longer before you'll do for one, mustna she, Adam? How come you put them things on, eh?" "Adam said he liked Dinah's cap and gown better nor my clothes," said Eddie, sitting down demurely. "He says folks looks better in ugly clothes." "Nay, nay," said Adam, looking at her admiringly. "I only said they seemed to suit Dinah. But if I'd said you'd look pretty in them, I should ha said nothing but what was true." "Why, thee thought'st Eddie wore a ghost, didstna?" said Mr. Poyser to his wife, who now came back and took her seat again. "He looks as scared as scared." "It little signifies how I looked," said Mrs. Poyser. "Looks all men no jugs, nor laughing neither, as I see. Mr. Bede, I'm sorry you've to wait so long for your ale, but it's coming in a minute. Make yourself at home ith cold potatoes. I know you like 'em. Tommy, I'll send you to bed this minute, if you don't give over laughing. What is there to laugh at, I should like to know? I'd sooner cry nor laugh at the sight o' that poor thing's cap, and there's them as 'ud be better, if they could make theirselves like her eye more ways nor putting on her cap. It little becomes anybody I this house to make fun o' my sister's child, and her just gone away from us, as it went to my heart to part why her. And I know one thing, as if trouble was to come, and I was to be laid up by my bed, and the children was to die as there's no knowing but what they will, and the murrain was to come among the cattle again, and everything went to rack and ruin, I say we might be glad to get sight o' Dinah's cap again, why her own face under it, border or no border. For she's one o' them things as looks the brightest on a rainy day, and loves you the best, when you're most I need on't. Mrs. Poyser, you perceive, was aware that nothing would be so likely to expel the comic as the terrible. Tommy, who was of a susceptible disposition, and very fond of his mother, and who had, besides, eaten so many cherries, as to have his feelings less under command than usual, was so affected by the dreadful picture she had made of the possible future, that he began to cry, and the good-natured father, indulgent to all weaknesses but those of negligent farmers, said to Eddie, "You'd better take the things off again, my lass. It hurts your aunt to see him." Eddie went upstairs again, and the arrival of the ale made an agreeable diversion, for Adam had to give his opinion of the new tap, which could not be otherwise than complimentary to Mrs. Poyser, and then followed a discussion on the secrets of good brewing, the folly of stinginess in hopping, and the doubtful economy of a farmer's making his own malt. Mrs. Poyser had so many opportunities of expressing herself with weight on these subjects that by the time supper was ended, the ale jug refilled, and Mr. Poyser's pipe alight she was once more in high good humor, and ready, at Adam's request, to fetch the broken spinning wheel for his inspection. Ah, said Adam, looking at it carefully, here's a nice bit of turning wanted. It's a pretty wheel. I must have it up at the turning shop in the village, and do it there, for I've no convenience for turning at home. If you'll send it to Mr. Burgess' shop by the morning, I'll get it done for you by Wednesday. I've been turning it over in my mind, he continued, looking at Mr. Poyser, to make a bit more convenience at home for nice jobs o' cabinet making. I've always done a deal at such little things in odd hours, and they're profitable, for there's more workmanship nor material in 'em. I look for me and Seth to get a little business for ourselves aye that way, for I know a man at Rossiter as'll take as many things as we should make, besides what we could get orders for round about. Mr. Poyser entered with interest into a project which seemed a step towards Adam's becoming a Astor man, and Mrs. Poyser gave her approbation to the scheme of the movable kitchen cupboard, which was to be capable of containing grocery, pickles, crockery, and house linen in the utmost compactness without confusion. Hetty, once more in her own dress, with her neckerchief pushed a little backwards on this warm evening, was seated picking currants near the window, where Adam could see her quite well. And so the time passed pleasantly till Adam got up to go. He was pressed to come again soon, but not to stay longer, for at this busy time sensible people would not run the risk of being sleepy at 5 o'clock in the morning. I shall take a step farther, said Adam, and go on to see Mr. Massey, for he wasn't at church yesterday, and I've not seen him for a week past. I've never hardly known him to miss church before. Aye, said Mr. Poyser, we've heard nothing about him, for it's the boys' holidays now, so we can give you no account. But you'll never think o' going there at this hour o' the night, said Mrs. Poyser, folding up her knitting. Oh, Mr. Massey sits up late, said Adam. And the night school's not over yet. Some o' the men don't come till late, they've got so far to walk. And Bartle himself's never in bed till it's gone 11. I wouldna have him to live why me then, said Mrs. Poyser, a dropping candle grease about, as you're like to tumble down o' the floor the first thing i' the morning. Aye, 11 o'clock's late, it's late, said old Martin. Ne'er sot up so I my life, not to say as it warna a marin', or a christenin', or a wake, or th harvest supper. 11 o'clock's late. Why, I sit up till after 12 often, said Adam, laughing, but it isn't to eat and drink extry, it's to work extry. Good night, Mrs. Poyser. Good night, Hetty. Hetty could only smile, and not shake hands, for hers were dyed, and damp with currant juice. But all the rest gave a hearty shake to the large palm that was held out to them, and said, come again, come again. I think o' that now, said Mr. Poyser, when Adam was out of on the causeway. Itting up till past 12 to do extry work. He'll not find many men o' 6 and 20 as'll do to put aye the shafts wi' him. If you can catch Adam for a husband, Hetty, you'll ride aye your own spring cart someday, I'll be your warrant. Hetty was moving across the kitchen with the currants, so her uncle did not see the little toss of the head with which she answered him. To ride in a spring cart seemed a very miserable lot indeed to her now. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.